Present be present, Lord, so that there might rise up among us the impassioned fire of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Was that you were saying about before 9 o'clock? Some time ago, I came across this wonderful parable written in 1953 by Theodore Weddell, and I tucked it away in my sermon notes folder. It struck me anew as I pondered the Pentecost effect, or what effect Pentecost might still have on us. He wrote, "On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a crude life-saving station. The building was just a hut, and there was only one boat, but the few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea, and with no thought for themselves went out day and night, tirelessly searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little station, so that it became famous. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding area wanted to become associated with the station and give of their time and their money and their effort for the support of its work. New boats were bought and new crews were trained, and the little life-saving station grew. Now, in time, some of the members of the life-saving station became unhappy because the building was so crude and so poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable, suitable place should be provided as the first refuge of those saved from the sea. And so they replaced the emergency cots with beds, and they put better furniture in the newly enlarged building, so that now the life-saving station actually became a popular gathering place for its members. They took great care in decorating it beautifully and furnishing it exquisitely, where they found new uses for it in the context of a sort of club. But fewer members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions, and so they hired life-saving crews to do this work on their behalf and in their stead. Now, don't misunderstand, the life-saving motif still prevailed in the club's decor and symbols. There was a liturgical boat, symbolic rather than fully functional, in the room where the club initiations were held. So the changes did not necessarily mean that the original purposes were totally lost. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold, wet, dirty, half-drowned people. And they were sick, some of them with black skin, some with yellow skin. The beautiful club, as you might imagine, was thrown into chaos, so that the property committee immediately had a shower house built outside the club where these recent victims of shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside the beautifully renovated main clubhouse. At the very next meeting, there was a split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities for being so unpleasant, as well as for being a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. Some members insisted upon life-saving as their primary purpose, pointing out that indeed they were still called a life-saving station. These few were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save the lives of all the various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. And so they did. Now, as the years passed, the new station down the coast came to experience the very same changes that had occurred in the older initial station. It evolved into a club, and yet another life-saving station had to be founded to restore the original purposes. Well, history continued to repeat itself, so that if you visit that coast, sea coast today, you will find a great number of exclusive clubs along that shore. Shipwrecks are frequent in those waters, but most people drown. Ouch. Any resemblance to the state in which we find our own witness as church, scattered among the multiplicity of church clubs today, is purely painful. What was the original rescue mission Pentecost was really about? How can we return to its purposes both for us as witnesses to Christ today and for those to whom we are called in our myriad daily encounters to offer its message and its rescue? For Luke, this speaking in tongues that fell on the disciples was less about ecstatic, unintelligible speech than about the conferring of the divine ability to speak about God's deeds of power in Jesus Christ. Literally, they embodied the message. As bold spirit bearers, they expressed the life of Christ first in Jerusalem and then to the world. And if they hadn't, we probably wouldn't be sitting here today. Anthony DeMello, an Indian Jesuit priest who spent many years studying and writing about Eastern religions, made a very incisive observation in his work, Contact with God. It brings a great deal to bear on the importance of the Holy Spirit's presence in any one of us when speaking about Jesus Christ. He wrote, "What the modern world, and in particular the younger generation, is saying to us today is, don't just talk, show me. Show me your faith." This is what India has been saying for centuries, he wrote. I remember one good pastor telling me some years ago of a holy Hindu he met in the south of India. He said to him, "You missionaries will never have an impact on us unless you come to us as gurus." The guru is a person who does not merely talk about what they have read in a book, but talks about the assurance of their own spiritual experience and how it changed their lives. The only sure sign of the Holy Spirit was not tongues of fire or rushing winds or the charismatic gifts, but the presence of holy love. Jesus had told the disciples that not everyone who said to him, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of God, but only those who did the will of God, a will measured by true agape. Agape, it is the love that you have to pray, that you have to will into being, a love that enfolds the person that we consider our enemy, the person with whom we are at odds, that we disagree vehemently with, the person we do not know, a love we call upon God to inspire in us, a love born in us of the Holy Spirit. And it's a love that we must muster up over and over and over and offer to those who do not find it easy to love. It has been said that prophecy will cease one day. So will tongues. So will deeds of power by faith. Only one thing has enduring value: love infused by the Holy Spirit of God. Anthony DeMello went on to speak to the heart of the Christian witness about the power of a Pentecost love. The greatest need of the church today is not new legislation, new theology, new structures, new liturgies. All these without the Holy Spirit are like a dead body without a soul. We desperately need someone to take away our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh. We need an infusion of enthusiasm and inspiration and courage and spiritual strength. We need to work more diligently on our spiritual lives, the deepening of our faith. And we must persevere in our love without discouragement or cynicism, with new faith in the future. In other words, we need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we have witnesses in our midst to the power and fire of the Holy Spirit within us, to guide and strengthen us in our own witness to the saving grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have the many of you who work at deepening your connection to Jesus, who stand up and speak words of faith into the injustices we see daily in so many places, who spread the joy we know and the power of the Spirit even in the darkest days, who work energetically and diligently to provide food, housing, jobs, equity, and mercy for all, who fight and protest and vote for those beloved of God that society so easily pushes to the margins and often treats with disdain and hatred, the myriad helping organizations that many of you offer your time and gifts to keep afloat, the food items and eggs you bring week after week for Miss Carol's breakfast, those who awaken with the dawn to offer nourishment for body and soul Saturday after Saturday, those who bring the Eucharist and Christian care to those who cannot any longer join us here, those who wear orange and vote for common sense laws to say enough of the carnage and the sacrifice of our children and our youth, those who tirelessly pursue racial justice. These and so many more are each and all, don't tell me, show me your faith. Witnesses to the fire of the Holy Spirit, to Christ's holy love in our world. We have the recent witness of four members of our congregation joining with the Kairos Prison Ministries to bring the power of God's redeeming love to those incarcerated for the rest of their earthly life, giving them the gift of the love of our Savior, which brings hope of a far richer eternal life filled with a love sought after but never found in this life. And your love presented in the many, many, many dozens of cookies baked with prayerful hearts shared on that weekend of renewed inner life. All these things and so many more that the Holy Spirit breathes into us to bring in love to a broken humanity. Love, agape. And in these things we are witnesses. Don't tell us. Show us. We have been and continue to be shown. The Holy Spirit is among us with great inspiration. All who are baptized, confirmed, received, reaffirmed, ordained in the power of the Holy Spirit in this place are enfolded into this holy love, surrounded by living witnesses to the power of the Holy Spirit right here in this place that is struggling not to be a club, but a life-saving station where we receive the inspiring breath of the Holy Spirit and then let it loose in love upon a needy world. The effect of Pentecost continues in new shapes and forms, for the Spirit enlivens and teaches us how. The effect of Pentecost continues in us, in you, in me. You've got to feel it. You've got to know it. Maybe you ought to carry a bag on Sundays and pick up a few things on the way in the door instead of, oh, look at this mess. Breathe it in deeply, my dear friends, and be renewed in hope. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Fill us with the enormous gift of God's love, and then renew us and send us forth in the power of your Spirit to heal our divisions, renew the hearts of your beloved humanity. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen.